Praise the Lord, everybody. If you would stand with me. It is good to see everyone here. If you're joining us with us online, thank you so much for joining us with this morning on this morning service. If this is your first time ever at Calvary Gospel Church, we just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for coming. If you're here in person, there are you can go, stop by the kiosk. There's just a quick card that you can fill out. We'd love to connect with you. Just a few points of information. We have a small gift. If you're online, you should see that web address right now. We'd love to connect with you. Just go ahead to that web address right there and fill out the information, and we'll be in contact. Just a couple announcements before we go into worship. We are transitioning many of our announcements to the beginning of service, so please tune in right away online and here in service, and you'll get those announcements. And we've started using more and more text messaging for communications. We also sent out emails. If you're not getting those, you can just email office@cgcmadison.org. Let us know who you are and how you want to be communicated, email or text, and we'll get you all set up. And again, our giving options, as we have been, you can send it in, you can go on our website, or you can text message. And then just a couple announcements. Today has been declared by Brother Bernard and the United Pentecostal Church as a national day of prayer for religious liberty. And so all across this nation, folks are gathering together at capitals, at city halls, at community buildings. And so we want to encourage you, if you're interested and are available this afternoon — this is a kind of a last-minute announcement — but we're going to be meeting at 2:30, caravanning up to the Capitol, probably driving around and praying together up there. And so please join us for that. And as always, for those who have been here in person, you've seen those blue barrels out in the vestibule. Our back-to-school bash is coming up, so if you have school supplies, you can drop those in. If you're online and aren't able to come to service, we encourage you, just during the week, stop by, ring the doorbell, drop those off, and we'll get those in those barrels, and we're going to have a great back-to-school bash passing out school supplies to our community. Amen. Amen. If you would join with me in prayer this morning, we want to continue to pray for Pastor, Sister Lois. They're on vacation, taking a quick weekend vacation, getting some rest. And as you heard, there are some medical concerns right now. We're just going to pray for them. And anyone in the house got a special need? Amen. Indicate by a lifted hand. Look around, find someone, and call their name out this morning. And let's go before the Lord in prayer for these needs and for this service. We thank you, Jesus, so much for your goodness, for your love, for your blessings, for your touch in our lives, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, you know every situation and circumstance indicated by that lifted hand. Those at home watching, God, you know the needs, Lord. We didn't see a hand, but Lord, you know the need, Lord. And as they cry out to you at home, in their car, at work, Lord God, I pray you minister strength, God. Minister comfort for those who have lost loved ones. Minister, Lord Jesus, God, direction, God. Minister, Lord Jesus, God, a miracle, Lord, a financial miracle. Lord, a miracle in the family, God. Whatever the situation is, Lord, move and stir and shake us, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the honor, God. We say hallelujah. It's the highest praise, God. Hallelujah, Lord God Jesus, because you can work things out, God. Nothing's too, Lord Jesus, great for you, God. Nothing's too small that you don't are concerned about it, God. We lift you up, Lord. We praise you, God. We magnify you, Jesus, this morning, God. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship together this morning.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you're facing today, but I just want to let you know that you can just step out in faith and believe that God has the victory. We have victory. Whatever it is, whatever you're facing, we have to stand in faith and believe and just receive that God has victory. We have victory in Him, and just worship with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just give you glory today. Hallelujah.
You have won the victory. sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Yes, we sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
We sing
hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Your silence supports our sin and pain. The heaven roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign, and yours is the king. Hold you, the veil tore before you, died in the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. Glory, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. fall before you. You silence the host of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no weakness.
Lord, church. I just feel God's presence so strong right now. There's such a sweet spirit in this place, and I just wonder, we're going to take a few more minutes to just do some worship and to spend some time worshiping, but if you have need of anything, if you have need of anything in this place today, we were talking as we were getting ready for service today about that we were going to speak faith, that even if we don't see it, even if all the situations in our lives and our circumstances are telling us something different, that we're going to speak faith and believe that God is doing a work, even when we don't see it or understand. And I just wonder if we could take a few more minutes. We're going to take some time. We've been given some extra time to worship. So we're going to take some extra time to worship. And as we're doing that, just reach out. Just speak in faith and believe for what God is going to do in your life. Claim it and say, God, this situation, I see it as this right now, but I thank you in advance, God, that you've delivered me. I thank you in advance, God, that you've restored this situation. I thank you in advance, God, that for the healing that you've given me. I just wonder if we could lift up our hands, if we could lift up our voices right now. We're just going to take a little bit longer in worship, and we're going to just reach out and thank God and worship him and praise him in advance for what he's doing in our lives.
The victory. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's enter into the presence of the Lord. You're already there. Let's enjoy His presence. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's why we're here this morning, to enter into His presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's do that again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes we come to church and we think that we're coming here to invite God into the house of God, when in fact He's already here. The presence of God is already here the moment we walk in the door. We come into His presence with thanksgiving. We enter into His courts with praise. Hallelujah. He's already here. Amen. I will briefly apologize for being late this morning. We have a family pet who is in the last stages of her life, and she doesn't seem to want to work on my schedule. So I'm sorry that I had to take care of Snowy. Kind of an urgent thing at the last minute, so please forgive me. Nonetheless, Jesus is already here. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 11. I want to speak this morning on breathing divine air. Psalm 11, verses 1 through 4. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, the King James Version doesn't have this word here, but I would place the word here. But the Lord is in his holy temple. I said the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of man. Praise God. You may be seated. Flee as a bird to the mountain. The psalmist says, why would I do that? Why would I flee as a bird to the mountain when I have trouble on every side? If I do that, someone is liable to get me in their sights and shoot me with an arrow. Why would I flee to the mountain? There's no hope there. There's no help there. Is that what the Lord is calling us to do today? To run away? To hide? To flee? To find a safe place? To flee all the issues that surround us? To escape from the world? Yes, we're required to maintain social distance and we want to honor the law. We're spending more time at home, perhaps, maybe more time away from others. But that doesn't mean that we should withdraw, that we need to withdraw spiritually, that we need to withdraw emotionally, that we need to withdraw in our walk with God. It does not mean we can't find the presence of the Lord. I don't have to go to the mountaintop to find Jesus. I don't have to come to the church building to find the presence of God. Amen. I don't need to flee to the mountain like a bird. I don't have to escape because the Lord is in his temple. The Lord is in his temple. Amen. We're not talking about this building. The Lord is in his temple. Jesus Christ made it plain that his body was the temple. And the apostle tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is in his temple. He dwells in us. His throne is in the heavenlies. What that means is we cannot see it. We cannot touch it. It doesn't rely on a place. We don't need to go to a place to find the presence of the Lord. He dwells in the heavenlies. He's everywhere all the time. He's not limited by the things of this world. He's not limited by any decree of the governor or of the county health officials or of the president of the United States. He dwells in the heavenlies. God is God. And he always will be God. God is on the throne. Amen. Psalm 121, passage we're very familiar with. And for a long time I've read it one way, and I've realized I should be reading it, I think, a different way. A song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Again, same scenario, I'm looking to the hills for my help. But I think what this verse is saying is the psalmist lifts up his eyes and he's looking to the hills and he's seeing no help there. Nobody's coming down the hillside to bail me out. Praise God. Amen. Do you feel that way sometimes lately? Everywhere you look. There's no help. No help from man. There's no help on this earth. There's no help coming from the places you would expect it. I lift up my eyes. There's no help. Where's my help coming from? I'm looking to the hills and I'm not seeing anything. No man, no woman, no movie star, no politician, no government program. No astrologer, no soothsayer, no religious leader. Nothing's coming to help me. But my help comes from the Lord. Look into his presence. Praise God. Continue in that verse, in that chapter. My help cometh from the Lord, verse 2 says, which made the heaven and the earth. Keep going. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. He's not worn out. He's not tired. This is not more than he can handle. He's not resting. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on the right hand. Hallelujah. No help coming from the hills, but I have help in the presence of the Lord. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. My help comes from the Lord. Praise God. Amen. How many of us thought that this was going to be over in May? June. July. Guess what? It's August. Amen. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time and even forevermore. Amen. Psalm 16 says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Do you believe that? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Does it feel like night sometimes? I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Everyone say, in thy presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Another version for verse 6 says it this way. Fair are the places marked out for me. I have a noble heritage. I have a noble heritage. I'm just not any guy. I'm not just any Joe Blow. I have a noble heritage. We have a noble heritage. We're children of the King. I said, we're children of the King. God has prepared a good place for us. He has something set aside for us. Not necessarily the dream home that you or I may want, maybe. That's what he has in mind, but I don't think that's what the psalmist is talking about. Not necessarily a place on the beach on Maui, which I've never been to someday. No, the place that he's prepared for me is in his presence. Praise God. The Bible says that we now taste what we will experience in eternity. Hallelujah. We're just getting a taste of it now, but we can enjoy the presence of the Lord. That's the place that he has prepared for me. And there's fullness of joy in his presence. Doesn't matter what's happening around me. If I can get in the presence of the Lord, if I can find that place of prayer, if I can draw near to him, if I can reach out to him, if I can touch him, there's joy in the presence of the Lord. And this, we used to sing this song, but we would say there are treasures forevermore. I think that was because, if I can say this without getting in too much trouble, old time Pentecost, a lot of people didn't have much. So they were looking forward to the treasures. And because we're trying to avoid the pleasures of sin, we don't necessarily sing about pleasure. But the scripture says there's pleasure forevermore. That means it's a pleasant place to be. That means we're going to find peace there. The book of Romans says that there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the presence of God, in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Something happens when we get into the presence of the Lord. Something happens when we're filled with God's Holy Spirit. When the power of God comes and takes up residence in us by the power of the Holy Ghost, there's joy there. There's righteousness there. There's a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. And we're children of the King. We have the privilege of dwelling in that place. Because he has prepared, he has marked it out for us. He's set it aside. Amen. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. Now that may seem a long way from where I started, but follow me. Corinthians says that Adam was made of the earth. It says in the book of Corinthians that Adam, the first Adam, was earthy. The scripture tells us that God formed man of the dust of the ground. It literally says that God formed the man soil from the ground. God took dirt. Science tells us that the very elements that exist in the human body are the very elements that are in the ground, in the dirt. The substance of flesh, sinews, and bones consists of the very same elements as the soil which forms the crust of the earth and the limestone that lies embedded in its bowels. First Adam was earthy. Our natural response to stress, our natural response to trial and temptation, the difficulties is to trust in ourselves, to trust in the flesh. We're earthy in by nature. We try to do things on our own. We look to earthy things because we're earthy. Amen. But the Bible says that he formed man out of the dust of the earth. But then he breathed into him the breath of life. Breathed into him life itself. And man became a living soul. This word, this phrase, living soul, it's talking about the whole being. It's talking a complete being is really what it's saying there. But the word breath there is a little different. It's oftentimes in the scripture, breath and wind, it's the same, it's an interchangeable word, or spirit and breath and wind sometimes are interchangeable. But in this case, it's not used very often, this word, but it's talking about the expression that it can actually mean utterance. It can mean a puff of life. It's a different word. It's a different word that's used. It's never used to describe the animal kingdom. It's only used to describe what God did in humanity. There's something different about you and me. Praise God. He breathed into man the breath of life. He gave him a different existence, a different being. He's earth. He's dust. He's dirt. But God made him different by breathing into him a certain kind of life. Made him a complete being. That word can, as I said, can mean utterance as well in some cases. And it indicates or implies then that this breath of life was a spoken word from God himself. It was the word of God that was imputed, that was imbued into the man, and he became alive. Jesus said in John 6, the words that I speak, they are life. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's a living thing. Proverbs 20:27 says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I've always had trouble with this verse. It's hard for me to see where God's candle is in humanity. When I look around me, I don't see a lot of candles in this world. Seems like there's a lot of darkness going on, but there is in, if I understand this correctly, when God gives us the breath of life, every one of us, there's a bit of his word that he speaks into us to make us alive, and it never leaves us. Every person on this earth, there's something inside of them that relates to God himself and to the very spirit and breath of God. That's why when you didn't know Jesus, when I didn't know Jesus, when I didn't have the Holy Ghost, when my life was full of sin and destruction, when I came into the house of God, when I came into a Search for Truth Bible study, when I sat at the table and read my Bible, I felt something there. Something happened inside of me. The candle was being lit by the breath of God. Praise God. If you're watching online this morning, and you that are here in the house this morning, I want you to let the Holy Spirit breathe on you. I want you to let the living God release his word inside of you and let him light a candle in your heart in this dark world. Something in humanity responds to the breath of God because he has lit the spirit there. Amen. This is the inner spiritual part of the human life that was breathed at creation. It constitutes humans as spiritual beings. It makes us different. We're moral. Intellect, we're supposed to be moral. We have a moral conscience. We're intellectual. We have spiritual capacities that the animals don't have. I could spend a lot of time talking about animals, and man, I've been spending a lot of time with this sick dog at my house. I mean, a lot of time. Can't be very far away from her, either my wife or myself, because things go really bad really fast if we are. So, but we have to make a choice. This is God's creation. It's a living being, but it's not a human being. And there's a difference. Amen. The word light or lamp is a metaphor. It's really talking about the revelation of God that dwells in humanity, in the inner parts. It's not talking about the inner parts of the body necessarily, the inner parts of the human being. The Word of God, the utterance of the Almighty, carried by the Spirit of God, is affected in the presence of God. Praise God. That's the difference between the Logos and the Rhema. The Rhema is activated by God's presence, by his Spirit. Praise God. I feel the presence of the Lord. Let's lift our hands right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you've never felt God's presence, whether you're at home or whether you're in this place, and even if you have today felt his presence, lift up your hands and allow him to minister to you in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, I feel God's presence. Praise God. Praise God.
It'd be by two or at most by three and let one interpret. Someone has the interpretation. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands right now? Release every area of your life to the presence of the Lord. I'm almost reluctant to use this. I am reluctant to use this next example because it's not quite as spiritual as the atmosphere that we're feeling right here. A number of years ago, there was a story told in video. Some people call them movies. And the name of the story was The Air Up There. It's about there's not a Christian story, has nothing really to do with Christianity per se, except that the main character was a basketball coach at a college called St. Joseph's. So that's as Christian as it gets right there. St. Joseph's. But he went to an African fictional African nation. Of course, it's all fiction. It's all made up. So please don't be offended by this example. We know it's not really about Africa. We know it's not really about a basketball player, but it was a story. So I'm going to tell the story. This American coach saw on a video, on a film, young man playing basketball in Africa, and their college was in need of a star. So he went to recruit this young man. And when he got there, he found out that village life was quite a bit different than life at St. Joseph's. And he realized that he would have a long way to go before he could recruit this young man. Of course, this young man was loyal to his father and loyal to his tribe and was not willing to do anything that he was not given permission to do or given his father's blessing. And this coach tried to talk the chief into allowing this young man to come back to the U.S. and play basketball. He can be rich and he can be famous and he can do all these things and he can help the tribe. And it wasn't going to work. Well, the tribal chief got into a discussion with a member of another tribe, and they were having a dispute over the land, and they decided that the only way that this dispute could be settled was by the two tribes having a basketball game. And in order to keep their claim to the property in question, the one tribe had to win the basketball game, or else it was lost. So they asked the coach then to stay and coach a team and put it together so that their tribe could maintain what really belonged to them. And so he did that. But they needed a point guard. And this particular coach, when he was in college, Jimmy was his name, was a point guard. And he was like one of the best in the country until he blew out his knee. But now he's older, and his knee is healed, and they decide that he's going to be the point guard on the team. But in order to be a point guard on the tribal team, he has to be a member of the tribe. That's the rules. And this guy from St. Joseph's in America, he's no tribal member, so he had to go through a ritual, a coming-of-age ritual that every other male member of the tribe had to go through when they were young men, 12, 13 years old, and now he's in his 30s, and he has to go through this, and you know, he's got his American pride, you know, up to here, and he thinks he can do anything, but he is really has to go through this coming-of-age ritual that humbles him terribly in front of the whole tribe and makes him realize that perhaps there are different ways of life that he has not examined and he's not familiar with. And finally, the ultimate part of this ritual is that you have to climb to the top of the mountain and prove that you've been there in this place. And the phrase that is used to describe this sojourn on your own up the side of the mountain to this special place is, in their language, is the air up there. You must taste the air up there. So at the end of this grueling ritual of initiation, where he's forced to fast and eat things that are really hard to consume and to do some things before the tribe that humble him and make him look really kind of silly. And in the end, he's forced, after all of this stress and trial, now he has to climb the mountain and taste the air up there, which he's determined to do. And he climbs the mountain through really terrible hardships and finally makes it to the top on his own. And something happens there. He realizes that it's not about basketball at all. It's not about his pride. It's not about what he wants and who he is. It's about the needs of the tribe, and it's about the reality of the human condition, and that he needs to recognize that he is no more and no less than the rest of the tribe, and he is one of them, and he's changed. Everyone say changed. He's changed there. And when he comes down, he feels like a member of the tribe, and he acts like a member of the tribe, and actually the rest of the story is about him falling into step with the tribe itself. The air up there. We have this image in our mind, this mountain. We use the phrase mountaintop experience. And I understand what it means, and I appreciate mountaintop experiences, and I've had a few, and it means something to me, but that's not really what the scripture is saying, that there's a physical place on the mountain. Yes, in the Old Testament, Moses went up to the mountain. Yes, in the Old Testament, when they worshiped false gods, they raised him up in the high places. Some athletes train at altitude, at high altitudes, because while they're training there, what happens is there's not as much oxygen in the air the higher you go on the mountainside. And so if you train in high altitudes, it's very rigorous, very hard for your body to adjust. But ultimately, what happens is your body starts to create more red blood cells to compensate for the lack of oxygen so that it can grab more of the oxygen that's out there that's in such short supply, and it can use it to make your body work. So then when these athletes come down to the lower altitudes, they have, I mean, there's a process that bicycle racers use, and other athletes as well. It's called blood doping, which is basically the same process, only it's synthetic, it's artificial. But this is a natural process where you return to the altitude that you're used to living at, and you have more red blood cells for 10 to 12 days. And theoretically, you're able to consume and absorb and use more oxygen because of the air up there. But here's the thing. Really, what happens when you go up to that altitude, your flesh is struggling. You have to submit your flesh. You have to make it respond to the air up there. So going up to the mountaintop, scripturally speaking, there was a time when that was a physical thing, when it was part of what God called Moses to do. But we don't have to climb the mountain. We don't have to go hiking. All we have to do is get into the presence of the Lord. And in order to do that, we have to submit the flesh so that we can breathe the air up there. So we can get into the heavenlies. See, we think of the heavenlies as someplace far off, but really, that it's really talking about the spiritual realm. And if I can submit my flesh through prayer and fasting, if I can humble myself through repentance and do what I need to do to get to the place where God's presence is, when I get back to normal living, praise God, I've got a whole lot more spirit in my life than I had before. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. 1 Corinthians 1:27, and I didn't get this passage to the overhead. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29 says this: God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I said this the other day, and I'll say it again. It just grabbed my attention when I heard on the public radio station, just going through the channels this time, and I heard someone say, once we get this virus under control, how many viruses have we had under control historically? Which virus have we ever had under control? Anybody have a cold this year? Anybody have a cold right now? That's a virus. There's only one who controls the virus. And no flesh shall glory in his presence. This virus will not be under control until the one who has control of it decides to control it. Praise God. And we are in the presence of the King. We know the one who has control. He lives inside of us. No flesh shall glory. Moses went up on top of the mountain and he experienced the presence of God like no one else. And he came back a changed man. He was not the same. The Israelites couldn't even bear to look at him. His life was never the same. Everything was different from that moment forward. Not because he was on the mountaintop, but because he was in the presence of the Almighty God. Psalm 22:3 says, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The word praise is there, if I understand it correctly, the root word is the word we get the word hallelujah from. He inhabits the hallel praise, the praise of a multitude, the praises of his people. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Something happens when a couple of God's people get together and pray and worship and reach out to the living God. We get to taste the air up there. We get to feel the presence of the King. We get to blood dope a little bit and come back into the world and let them know that there's a living God, that there's a real God, that there's a mighty God. 1 Corinthians 15:44 says, it is sown a natural body, and it is raised up a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there's a spiritual body, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and the spirit. And Nicodemus said, yeah, well, I've already been born. That which is earthy, that which is of the earth is earthy. Jesus said, that's your flesh. That's your natural birth. He said, I'm talking about a spiritual birth. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. Praise God. I'm so glad that I, in my earthy life, found a living Spirit whose name is Jesus. I'm so glad that in my dusty, dirty lifestyle, someone came to me with the candle, with the light, with the glory of God, and Jesus Christ breathed into me the breath of life, and I was born again in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God, my sins were washed away in water baptism. And if you've never had your sins washed away, I'm telling you, it's a physical experience, but something happens in your spirit when it does. I felt different when I came up out of the water. I didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. I hadn't been filled yet, but the candle was lit. And something happened. I walked out of the side door and I stood on the platform and I realized that I was a different person. I had breathed the air up there. I was lighter. 10 days later, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I spoke in a language I never knew. And from that moment forward, I had a candle inside of me. I had a light that I did not know existed before. Hallelujah. So it is written, first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. We've all been there. Sometimes we still relate to that too much. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, as in the heavenly. Such are they also that are heavenly. Praise God. We can be heavenly. I said we can be heavenly. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let's stand. I have more, but I'm out of time. When they were gathered in the upper room after the resurrection, Jesus spoke to the disciples, minus Thomas, and he said, the Bible says he breathed on them. He breathed on them. And he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now we know that they didn't receive the Holy Spirit at that time, because the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance in Acts chapter 2. But I believe that what Jesus was doing was speaking was the same breath that he breathed into Adam to give him life. He was doing the same thing to them to light that candle in their spirit, so hot, so bright, that when the day came for them to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled completely, they were open and ready to respond. Praise God. You're here this morning, you're listening online, maybe that candle has dimmed, maybe the circumstances of life have covered it up, but I'm here to tell you, it never goes out until you breathe your last breath. The candle of your spirit is always able to respond to the presence of God. You don't have to be in the church building. The Bible makes it clear that we should take every opportunity we can to gather together. Amen. Now, some of us are limited. We can't do that right now. And that's understandable. But hopefully in your home there are two or three. Or if you're alone, you can in your mind and in your heart be in one mind with all of us here. Let the presence of the Lord minister to you. Where two or three are gathered together in it. Hallelujah. There's a fire here. Let him light your flame. Let him renew and refresh in you the light that the world. Jesus said, if you light a candle, would you put it under a basket? No, you would put it where you can see. You're a city set upon a hill, Jesus said. Hallelujah. There's an eternal light inside of us. We have something that the world needs right now. Let him refresh it. Let him renew it. I'm going to read one last passage. If you want to come and pray, now is the time. If you want to let God touch you, now is the time. Praise God. Just want to repeat this last phrase. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Praise God. What are people seeing in my life? What are people seeing in your life? Are they seeing you respond to the troubles around us the same way everyone else is? Are you overwhelmed and covered by the darkness? Or are they seeing the heavenly? Praise God. This is not to bring condemnation. It's to bring revelation that you don't have to be overwhelmed. You don't have to be overcome. You don't have to be in the dark. Praise God, because we're children of the King. And if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and never been filled with the Holy Ghost, God has in His presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Do I have trouble? Oh yeah, I got trouble in my life. But in His presence, there's fullness of joy. Praise God. Let's pray.
Like the rushing wind, Jesus breathed in. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wind, Jesus breathed in. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Just breathe.